we started the program in Beirut with Karim Shahayab from the Associated Press, where Israel is continuing its invasion into southern Lebanon, including bombing the capital, in retaliation, they say, to a year of rocket attacks by Hezbollah into northern Israel. Yesterday, Hezbollah sent a drone into an Israeli army base there, into the canteen, killing four soldiers. Meanwhile, UN soldiers, including Irish troops, are caught in the crossfire. Israel's Prime Minister wants them to get out of harm's way. Some have already been injured, not Irish soldiers. The UN Secretary General says attacks on UN soldiers may be war crimes. Taoiseach Micheál Martin has called this morning on Israel to respect the primacy of the UN in Lebanon. He was speaking to reporters at an EU meeting of foreign ministers in Luxembourg.
Israel is essentially now undermining the United Nations and the United Nations peacekeeping force, but the very rules-based international order. And it needs to step back, and the international community need to be very clear, and my colleagues at the European Council need to be very clear about the primacy of the international rules-based order. The United Nations is at the heart of that, and United Nations peacekeepers are at the heart of that. And today at the meeting I will be saying to my colleagues there can be no equivocation, there can be no hesitation or relaxation of any views in respect of the primacy of the United Nations.
That's Taoiseach Micheál Martin in Luxembourg this morning. Declan Power is with us again. He's security and defence analyst and also served with UNIFIL in the 1990s. Declan Power, good morning again.
Morning, Gav.
Five peacekeepers injured now, not Irish peacekeepers. What's your assessment of the risk to Irish troops in Lebanon now?
Well, it is at a high level, and it has been at a high level for some time. And that's consistent in terms of, if you look at our history of involvement with the UNIFIL mission, where it has consistently fluctuated from periods of calm and routine to extremely high levels of tension and threat to all troops serving with it, including the Irish troops. I don't think it has gone beyond anything that we haven't experienced before, based on what I'm seeing and hearing, and based on reports I'm hearing from colleagues who have served there more recently and who are a bit closer to knowing what's happening at the tactical level. And I think it's important we bear that in mind, and we continue to operate as part of the UNIFIL team and take decisions in concert with UNIFIL, rather than looking at this in a unilateral fashion, which is unhelpful.
If directly fired upon, what can UNIFIL troops do in response? Can they fire back?
Yes, they can, actually. It's not a Chapter 7 mission, which is a peace enforcement mission. UNIFIL troops have always had the right to protect themselves. And there's two strands to this, Gavin, that need to be noted, I suppose. Irish troops, in particular, have had many tense standoffs with various forces from Hezbollah and previous to them, Amal militias, and the various Israeli-backed proxy militaries that evolved from the Christian militia to what became known as the DFF, the de facto forces, in order not to give them the credibility of the name they chose for themselves later, the South Lebanese Army, which was an Israeli-created and backed militia to garrison a buffer zone. Now, there were numerous incidents where UNIFIL troops would end up in the middle of these, or where their territory would be aggressed against. And the mandate, the UNIFIL mandate, allows the forces to open fire in protection of themselves and to do a variety of other things. It wouldn't have been uncommon for Irish troops to fire what was known as illumination rounds for mortars to where they suspected an attack was being launched in an area that they were trying to control or in close to their positions, which would kind of neutralize it in a bit, that both sides, both parties would lose the element of surprise. Things like that were what I would suggest were a form of tactical neutralization, if you like. And then there was the incident at Tiree in 1980, where there was a week-long battle between initially Irish troops, a platoon of about 30-odd men under the then Lieutenant Tom O'Hearn, who were being pushed out of the village of Atiri, where the militia were trying to take this area over. And there were a number of peacekeepers killed, including Private Stephen Griffin from Galway. So to wind it into where we are now, this is why this is such a high-risk strategy for the Israelis, that at the moment UNIFIL are being very calm and measured in what they're doing. But there was a direct Israeli attack if a Merkava tank, for example, started to fire rounds at a UN a UNIFIL position, and that UNIFIL position had the firepower, which could, which a lot of them do. I mean, if Javelin missiles could be used in response to something like that, you could have a significant escalation. Now, the only time a UNIFIL troops would do that is if they felt, if the officer in charge on the ground, or indeed the NCO, felt that they had no choice in order to preserve life. Now, there's one other element to this that changed from the early days of the Irish deployment in 1978, and that is the UN itself, based on experiences on other missions, brought in a concept called R2P, responsibility to protect. And that means that regardless of what the mandate might say, all UN military forces have a role in trying to protect whatever civilians come under their stewardship in whatever shape and form. And that was to prevent different UN contingents down through the years of trying to exonerate themselves from not having risked themselves to protect civilians. So that is the overview, if you like, that's at play at the moment.
Declan Parris, security and defence analyst, thank you for speaking with us this morning.